Oh, hey, it's that lady in the park, just staring at pigeons, trying to imagine what's on their minds. Allie Ward back with more ologies to gulp into your mouth pouch.
Oh, open wide for this Smologies episode about pelicans. Here's the deal. If you're like, what's Smologies? Smologies are shorter, edited versions. They're G-rated, so they're classroom safe. This one is all about birds with big mouths. Now, if you want the full episode, you can click the link in the show notes. Those are a little racier, more in-depth, but this is a great digest if you're carpooling to school or you need something to send your grandma if she does not swear. Maybe she does. But anyway, clean version, shorter. Enjoy.
Okay, pelicanology. Others have used this word before, so we're using it now. So pelican seems to come from pelicus, which is the Greek for axe, because of the bird's long axe-handly bill. So I started following this ologist recently, and her pinned tweet is a video of what appears to be tiny plucked chickens that are dancing. But they are actually squawking pelican infants, and I love them. So I messaged her three words in all caps. Let's talk pelicans. As one does in a professional correspondence. And her response was, I can talk about dinosaur floofs all day. So we hopped on the horn to chat about bird nerds and big bills and saggy sacks, wingspans, spine illusions, dive bombs, and more. So open your ears and mouth pouches for pelicanologist Juwita Martinez. Been like, there needs to be a pelicanology episode.
I mean, on the inside, yes. Like very deep.
Maybe you would know that. You're going to know this better than I would. Are you a pelicanologist? Have you ever used that word?
I actually have never used that word, but starting from today, I'm actually going to change my Twitter bio.
I checked and she changed her Twitter bio to read PhD student, hashtag dinosaur floofs equals brown pelicans plus pelicanology.
And now, what about brown pelicans? First off, what is a pelican? Is a pelican only the kind that have the purse attached to their face?
I've never actually heard someone say that. That is awesome. I love that description of it.
They do. So, they have a handbag for a mouth.
They do. That is a good one. I love it. Yes. So all pelicans have a purse, which is better known as a gular pouch. And that's what helps them survive. That is how they catch their food.
Gulart means throat in Latin. So a gulart pouch is a pelican face purse. That's what it is.
Brown pelicans specifically actually plunge dive. So from about 30 feet or so up in the air, they will spot a school of fish and then just dive down and use that pouch to basically scoop up all the fish.
It's in my purse. And what do they do with all the water that they also scoop up?
So if there's other birds around, such as gulls that try to like steal the fish from their mouths, they will just slightly open their bills and let the water like seep out until there's just fish in their pouch.
Why do they need so many fish? This is what I can't understand, because they're kind of big birds, right? But other big birds, they catch a fish, they catch a thing at a time. But pelicans are like in it. I feel like they have the best equipment in the game. Like, why do they need to catch so much fish?
I would think it depends on the season. So if they're trying to feed their chicks, they have about a maximum of 3 chicks. So if you think about a pelican, they're about 16 pounds, which is quite a bit of weight.
Yeah.
And on top of that, they have to feed themselves, have enough energy to fly around and catch the fish. But then they also have 1 to 3 mouths to feed. They're going to need quite a bit of fish for that. Mm-hmm. And these pelicans are born completely naked and with their eyes shut. So they're completely reliant on their parents for quite a few months.
And then what about their wingspan? Because a 16-pound bird's pretty big. How big are the wings to keep it aloft?
It's about 6 feet. Which is taller than me.
Oh, that's huge. Yeah. That's like a condor size, right?
Yeah. It's a good social distancing size too.
Oh my god, that needs to be your new campaign, is everyone stay one pelican wingspan away from each other.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, so 16 pounds, 6 feet, because are they all inland, or I mean, are they all Gulf or coastal, or are they inland too?
So we have two species in North America. We have the brown pelican and the white pelican. And actually, the brown pelican is smaller than the white pelican by about 10 pounds or so. And the brown pelican stays on the coastline, like up and down the West Coast, and then throughout the Gulf of Mexico and up to North Carolina-ish. And the white pelicans, on the other hand, you can't see them on the coast, but they breed inland.
How many pelican species are there in the world? I looked it up. There are 8, in case that ever comes up in a game of pelican trivia.
And now you call them floof dinosaurs? Dinosaur floofs?
Dinosaur floofs.
Aren't they really fuzzy?
Okay, so there's like this middle stage. They're born naked and then they start getting these little pin feathers. Mm-hmm. And they get their down feathers first. And that down feather is what sparked the hashtag. So down feather is the insulating part of their body. And mm-hmm. it's really soft and fluffy. And so when you're holding a kind of baby pelican that just has down feathers, they're pretty fluffy. And I feel very lucky.
So you've gotten to hold them?
Yes. So we have a project because Louisiana is losing land at a very rapid rate mm-hmm. because it's sinking and the sea level is rising.
Oy.
So these islands that are perfect habitats for these pelicans to raise their young are actually getting overtopped and just completely disappearing. We don't really understand what happens to pelicans once their islands disappear, because their instinct is to come back to the same islands that they were born on.
Oh.
And so what I've been doing is I am putting leg bands on these pelicans so that future grad students, once I'm graduated, are able to go back and track these bands. And hopefully we'll get a better understanding of where they moved to.
So apparently only 30% of pelicans survive their first year of life. Only 2% make it to age 10. But some have been known to live until their 40s. So somewhere out there, there is a Gen X pelican listening to Britpop. But how do they tell who's who?
So my lab does orange bands, and other labs that study pelicans use different color bands. And these color bands are really large, so we can see them from really far away without having to disturb the birds.
Oh, that's nice. When I was looking at baby pelicans on your Twitter, I myself had an impulse to want to give them one tiny kiss on their heads. Is that a normal impulse for a person?
I would say yes. But if you ever come down to Louisiana and come out to the islands with me, I think you will be satisfied just by holding them, because I will say they might be floofy, but they're also very stinky. So a hug is as far as I usually want to go with it.
Okay, that's good to know. I know that it is like not a good idea to put my mouth on wildlife for the wildlife's sake.
Do not put your mouth on wildlife. The wildlife does not want you to. Also, I looked up the floofs and they look like what would come out of the dryer, like in the lint hatch after washing a load of brand new floofy towels. So picture a lint ball, but with big clappy flappy face parts. But when they're born, they are indeed featherless.
They look like little alive frozen chickens. They look so cute. So cute. I can't handle it.
And the gular pouch or the purse is so tiny on the baby chicks. And they're just, oh my gosh, it gets me every time.
When you're talking about doing restoration work to make sure that they have a home that they can come back to, or that they have habitat that they can inhabit, how do you do that if you're up against things like sea levels rising and like land sinking? What do you do?
So right now, Louisiana's being restored, but not by me. They mm-hmm. actually have agencies such as the Coastal Protection and Restoration Act and different groups of people that come out here and basically perform something called dredging.
Pardon?
So they put in these pipes basically under the ocean level. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they pump a bunch of sediment from the ocean floor onto these islands.
Whoa.
So we're basically just building land
from
the ocean floor. We're just putting it up. And these pipes go for miles.
When you are tracking them, I mean, can you see on a year-to-year basis any change or improvement?
Yes. So some islands have been restored and some have not. And what my research aims to do is to compare the pelican populations on these two different sets of islands across coastal Louisiana. And our preliminary data is telling us that there is a larger population on restored island, which means the restoration is working. And the billions of dollars is not being wasted.
Yeah.
And we also found that chicks are more likely to reach that age where they can fly away and fend for themselves on restored islands versus those that are born on unrestored islands, which is really helpful because no one's actually looked at that yet.
How are their numbers? Like when did they start to maybe take a dip?
So by 1963, brown pelicans were completely extinct from the state of Louisiana.
Seriously? And,
yes, due to DDT. So if they keep laying eggs and the eggs keep getting crushed, or if the nest keeps failing, they'll actually leave the area.
That's it. I'm out of here.
Oh, man.
And the brown pelican is the state bird. So for the state to not have brown pelicans didn't really make sense.
Yeah, that's a bad PR look.
So there was this huge push to reestablish the population here. And the way that they did it was they actually brought a little over 1,000 brown pelican chicks from Florida. So for the most part, all of the pelicans in Louisiana right now are descendants of the 1,000 or so Florida population.
That is nuts. So Louisiana's like, we either have to change the state bird or we have to get more pelicans in here immediately, people.
Yes. And they did the latter, which I'm glad to say that it was a huge success. And it took a lot of effort. And I'm so happy that everyone involved did their part. Mm-hmm. And right now we're just trying to maintain their population and make sure it doesn't decrease anymore. And they're doing pretty good right now. Their numbers could be a little bit better. It also depends on the fishery. So if there's less fish, less chicks are likely to survive, and therefore their population isn't going to grow as well.
Okay, so what happens if you take a Florida pelican and you move it to Louisiana? What if they don't like Louisiana's fish menu? Well, Juita is collabing with the Nelson Lab at the University of Louisiana to figure out their favorite fish. And it turns out their diet is 98% menhaden, which is a silvery, forked tail, oily, filter feeding fish. Now, menhaden are a staple in a lot of wildlife diets, so protecting this fish protects the pelicans, as well as other sea and air critters that kind of pull up a seat to this feast that is a school of menhaden.
How can they see from the sky? I mean, I realize they're pelicans. They're very good at this, but they're cruising along, right? They have this thing flapping in the wind. Their face is flapping around. I'm picturing it. But it actually gets tucked, right?
I don't know if tucked is the word I would use. It's not necessarily swaying.
I'm picturing it like a windbreaker. I don't know why. I'm trying to picture what it feels like.
Is it leather or denim or skin? These are questions that one can ask a pelicanologist.
What do their bills or that pouch, what is it? Have you ever touched it? What does it feel like?
It basically feels like saggy skin.
No.
Extremely saggy and wrinkly skin. And it's really flexible.
That seems so cute.
Yeah.
In case you ever need to brag about a pelican, just know that they can dive bomb fish at 40 miles an hour, and their beaks, which have been unchanged for 30 million years, slice the water to handle that speed and that velocity. And that pouch, I read, acts like a little parachute underwater to help slow them down. So essentially they're fighter jets, but cooler and smellier.
And what are their nests like?
So their nests, they prefer to nest on taller shrubs because Louisiana floods quite often. So if they're on like taller vegetation, the chances of their nest flooding is smaller, and they tend to use sticks. So they're maybe like 2.5 feet in diameter.
That's pretty big.
Pretty large nest, maybe a little smaller. Now I'm trying to think. I've never actually measured a pelican nest, but they're pretty big. We're currently using drones to see if we can get accurate nest counts, and you can definitely see the nest from a drone.
Ooh.
Shot.
Do you have time? Do you mind getting asked patron questions?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Bring them. I'm so excited.
Okay, so before we get to your questions, a few words about sponsors who make it possible for Ologies to donate to a cause of the ologist's choosing each week. And this week, Jawita and all the folks at Black AF in STEM decided on BackyardBaseCamp.org, which is inspiring Black, Indigenous, and all people of color across Baltimore City to find nature where they are and empowering them to explore further. Backyard Base Camp also offers garden consultations and educator training and habitat discovery programs and more. They are awesome. So check them out and consider donating. That is backyardbasecamp.org. And that donation to them was made possible by sponsors of the show who you may hear about now. Okay. Your pelican questions.
There's a lot of pelican questions. Okay. This is a question that I think I got the most. L. McCall put it well. The spine thing. Out of their throats. Please tell us everything. And Evan Jude and Angela Manuel and Will Playway said, yes, please. Yes, yes. I'm dying to know. What's happening with their spine out of their throats?
Oh my gosh. I totally saw that.
What?
So it's only like part of their, it's like basically their neck vertebrae. Okay. So when they're doing that, they're actually just yawning.
What?
They're... Yeah, yawning / stretching. So while I'm taking my camera chat photos of them, that actually happens all the time.
Really?
And I record it in my data sheet as yawning.
Oh my God. Wait, what other things are in your data sheet? Like yawning, like eye rolling, farting. Like what do you have to jot down?
I basically write down any and all behavior that I see. So everything from feeding, you can actually tell when a pelican chick is being fed because they're going to feed straight out of the pouch. So the baby chick's head is in the parent's big pouch, basically picking out fish.
And one more thing on that vertebrae coming out of the neck, it's actually just their neck showing through the bottom of their pouch when they yawn or when they sit weird. But essentially, no, their spine isn't coming out of their neck. It's just kind of like pushing through the bottom of their pouch. Normal.
Something else I record is if there is any neighborly conducts happening. So they'll sometimes bicker with one another.
David, stop acting like a disgruntled pelican.
They're pretty territorial over their one little nest spot.
Okay, I looked up video of this, and sometimes these little dinosaur floofs use their long bills to bite each other's bills, and it sounds like clacking a bunch of rulers together, but it looks like when my sisters and I would fight over barrettes.
Diane P. wants to know, do pelicans chew their food, or do they just swallow it, and what's the largest prey a pelican can eat, or is it mostly about like eating a bunch of jelly beans at once instead of eating like a whole calzone?
So they just do one big gulp. Oh. I'm sure if there's multiple fish in their pouch, though, they'll probably do a few big gulps. They don't chew on anything. So it's whole fish that they are swallowing and regurgitating for their young to eat.
When they regurgitate it, is it like a slurry?
No, it's actually a whole fish.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dang. Okay. Yeah. I thought that was going to be like a fish smoothie, but it's just like bloop, just like taking a granola bar right out of your own stomach.
Yeah, basically.
This next one was asked by my pal Greg Wallach and Megan Walker, William Andrews, and Laura Merriman, who referenced the 1910 limerick by Dixon Lanier Merritt, an ornithology enthusiast and a professional humorist. The limerick so goes, a wonderful bird is the pelican. His bill will hold more than his bellican. He can take in his beak enough food for a week. So, bill versus gastric capacity. Can a pelican's beak hold more than its bellican? Belly can.
Have you ever heard that joke?
Yes, we used to tell that to our 5th and 6th graders when I was a naturalist back in the day. So its beak can actually hold more than its belly can if you're counting the water volume.
Oh, yeah. Right. And then it just squirts it out and then it keeps the fish.
Yes.
Well, that's exactly. A good way to remember it. Thomas N. Wyndham wants to know if pelican chicks toss their siblings out of the nest.
Not usually. I have never seen them in my cameras, but there is sibling rivalry in the sense that if there is not enough food to go around, the youngest chick tends to not get fed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the order in that they were born is the order in which the parents will generally feed them.
They can remember, but are they like 10 hours apart, like how soon they hatch, kind of?
It's more like a day or so.
Okay.
And it's not that the parents remember. It's more that the older chicks are louder. They're more willing to like shove their siblings out of the way and like get to the parents first.
Oh, okay. Megan Walker. How tough are their insides? And do the fish die right away? It seems like a fresh floppy fish would do some damage to the insides.
So, I mean, just like our stomachs, their stomachs have pretty high acid content. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how fast the fish actually is like stops moving inside there, but I would assume it's pretty fast.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay, I looked this up and apparently it's pretty acidic in there, and fish are not long for this world once in a bird belly.
Ronan, last question, says, the brown pelican is my mom's favorite bird, which is amazing. And I asked her if she has a question. And so Ronan's mom wants to know, so do pelicans migrate or do they live in the same temperate location year round?
So in Louisiana, we do have brown pelicans that hang around all year, but some of them actually do travel down to Central America.
Ooh, and that's wintertime?
Yes. So outside of February through like August, they can be somewhere else.
Oh, I love the idea that they're just like little snowbirds, just having some fun. Some of them are on vacation. They just have a timeshare.
I know. I'm so jealous. They get to leave, but I'm stuck in cold Louisiana.
And you're just like waiting for them to come back.
Yes, right? That's literally my life. Like actually.
What about your favorite thing about pelicans or your work?
The fact that I get to be so close to these birds is wild. Mm-hmm. Because very few people get that opportunity. And being surrounded by 10,000 nesting birds, specifically pelicans, it's a wild experience.
Are they loud?
Pelicans are actually not that bad. It's all the other birds around them, from the terns to the skimmers to the laughing gulls. They're super loud. But that's why I love taking volunteers out there when a pandemic isn't currently going on, because I get to see my field site in a whole new light. And remember, oh yeah, most people don't get to see that happening.
Yeah.
And it's like the coolest thing. I just went out into the field for the first time yesterday and I took one of my committee members and another grad student, both of whom have not been on the islands. And I know they're team fish, but I'm just going to say they were smiling from ear to ear. So
from one side of their pouch to the other.
Yes.
Oh, that's so exciting. Well, you have given me a new appreciation of pelicans and pelican babies and their floopy skin pouches and their face purses.
I'm going to call them face purses from now on. I love that.
Oh my God. Just digging around. Just digging around that handbag. Oh, look at this. Another fish. You never know. I'm so glad I got a chance to talk to you. Next time I come to Louisiana, I'm going to look you up. I hope it's in field season.
Oh my God. Yes, we have to have this happen. That would be awesome.
So ask smart pelicanologists flappy, saggy, sappy, silly questions because they love pelicans. And now so do you. Look at that. You love pelicans. And Juita. You can follow her on Instagram or on Twitter at Juita Martinez. I will put a link to those handles and to her website in the show notes. We are at Ologies on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Allie Ward with one L on both.
Also linked is allieward.com/smologies, which has dozens more kid safe and shorter episodes you can blaze through. And thank you, Mercedes Maitland of Maitland Audio, for editing those. And since we like to keep things small around here, the rest of the credits are in the show notes.
And if you stick around until the end of the episode, you know, I give you a piece of advice. And this advice is that I always keep a little utensil kit in my backpack. It's got a bamboo fork and knife and a spoon in there.
as well as a straw. And not only is that better for the planet to say, hey, I don't really need to use any plastic utensils right now, but also sometimes you're just stuck and you need a spoon. One time I ate some peanut butter with a Q-tip in a hotel room and I said, this is never going to happen again. And now I travel with some silverware. So there you go. I hope that helps. And thanks for listening and bye-bye.